Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Bill Graff to the broadcast. Bill is the Chief Information Officer of Cerner, a $4.8 billion healthcare information technology solutions company. He has global responsibility for the organization's physical and virtual security programs and corporate IT. Bill's team also supports remote hosting and cloud data center operations in 7 countries. Bill joined Cerner in 2005 and has held a variety of executive positions within the enterprise. Prior to joining Cerner, Bill spent 17 years in various IT roles. Bill's been recognized by Computer World as a Premier 100 IT leader, and he serves on the board of advisors for Hewlett Packard Enterprise and Intel Corporation. Bill graduated from Kansas State University with a Bachelor of Science degree in Agriculture and Economics. I recently caught up with Bill in his office in Kansas City, Missouri, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, People, as Bill discussed the traits he looks for in leaders, Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as we discussed how he sees IT as a partner and enabler to other parts of the business, and Principle 5, External Partnerships, as we discussed the importance of trust between Cerner and their partners. We also discussed Cerner's tremendous growth, how Bill has scaled his team and processes to enable it, Bill's purview as CIO, and a variety of other topics. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. Thank you. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by TopTal, an exclusive network of the top freelance software developers, designers, and finance experts in the world. I recently caught up with TopTal CEO Tasso Duval, and he offered the following top 5 trends for hiring top talent.
The top 5 trends for hiring top talent are: 1, hiring talent remotely, ensuring that they are able to work remotely and that companies are hiring talent remotely. 2, leveraging teams in different dispersed locations. If you're hiring in-house and you're leveraging remotely a bit, being open to having talent even in the same time zone is an important factor that we've noticed. 3, highly skilled teams becoming the majority rather than the lead, meaning ensuring that the team composition comprises of predominantly high-skilled labor rather than high-skilled labor supported by lower-skilled labor. 4, infrastructure being created to support those teams, ensuring that the teams in-house are connected with the remote teams that are working together. And 5, flexibility with offer packages. We've seen that even the in-house talent that are joining companies from Google to Facebook and on are interested in demanding that there is a remote component to their job, whether it's one day a week or full-time, be included within their offer packages.
Bill Graff, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you.
Great to speak with you. Bill, I thought we'd begin with your role. You are the Chief Information Officer of Cerner. You have been in that role for nearly a year and a half. Interestingly enough, the company had gone, if I recall correctly, roughly 8 years without somebody, at least in that title. I know that in your prior role, you had held a lot of those responsibilities. But I'd be curious, you wouldn't mind speaking about it for a moment, that journey you've been in at Cerner for nearly 13 years of rising through the ranks to eventually become CIO.
Over my career prior to coming to Cerner, held various different roles in IT, from software engineering to operational things, running data centers, et cetera. And when I started at Cerner in early 2005, really took over the data center infrastructure for the hosting side and, really grew my career on that side of the business, as we grew that business, dramatically from a small sort of startup business inside of Cerner to a, very large scale business across the board. As it grew and as Cerner grew, it started to make some sense to combine some of the, what was then 2 separate organizations, an infrastructure organization and a corporate IT organization. So in 2010, there was a consolidation of many of the infrastructure components from the corporate IT. So, the network, server storage platforms kind of came into my organization, as well as some of the applications where it made sense, because in the hosting side, we had a lot of tools that we'd already built for automation, ticketed tracking, support services, et cetera, and combining those things from an IT operational and cost modeling perspective made a lot of sense. So that began in 2010, and then over the years, the rest of it was transferred over to me throughout the next 3 years. So really in the last 3 years, I've had full responsibility for the corporate IT, as well as on the hosting side, responsibility for all of our global data center operations and infrastructure. That's kind of my story, and spent a lot of time working in the trenches, working globally to help build Cerner into the company it is on really the backs of technology and how we can leverage technology inside of Cerner to help our associates be more productive, as well as, you know, deliver great service to our clients.
Bill, can you take a moment just to give a bit of an overview of Cerner's business and how it's grown, at least during the time that you've been there? I know it's a dramatic growth story.
When I came in early 2005, you know, Cerner was sub $1 billion company, or right at $1 billion. So over the last 12 and a half, 13 years, Cerner's grown into nearly a $5 billion U.S. revenue company. The associate count was probably around 6,000, maybe 6,500 folks. Today we have a little over 25,000 worldwide. You know, we're in, you know, numerous countries around the globe. It's an interesting ride. One of the reasons why I came to Cerner, I spent a lot of time working at startups. And Cerner, when I came, felt like a startup company. You were expected to be very entrepreneurial and deliver results. The exciting thing about Cerner was we actually had good business leaders and had funding to go do these entrepreneurial things. And obviously through U.S. legislation and hard work on our part to deliver, company's grown dramatically, and it's been a great career for me over the last 13 years.
And can you describe, you began to do so in terms of your accumulation of responsibilities. Can you describe kind of all that fits under your purview?
Really have two sides of the fence here a little bit. One side of the fence is really on the commercial side, client-facing side, which is the critical infrastructure and data center operations. So responsible for infrastructure around the world that is used to deliver Cerner services, hosting services to our clients. You know, we have operations in the United States with two primary data center sites. And then we have co-location facilities and multiple countries outside of the US, Canada, the UK, France, Australia, the Middle East, Bangalore, India. On the more of the, I would say, shared service or corporate side, I'm responsible for all the enterprise applications that the company uses, you know, the traditional things you would expect a CIO to be responsible for, the corporate infrastructure that goes along with that as well. I have all of enterprise security, both physical security and cybersecurity reports up into me. I have a team of IT, finance, and governance folks who are responsible for the entire IT budget for the company, both capital and expense. Being in the hosting business, we have fairly large capital and expense plan that we have to manage too, and obviously work very closely with senior executives in making sure that we continue to support the business plan of the company. I think in general that probably covers the areas. So security, critical facilities, which are data centers, infrastructure, corporate IT are the main areas that my focus is. And then there's a few other smaller things around or the IT, finance, and governance group as well.
And I find it really interesting, as you mentioned earlier, Bill, you, before taking on the CIO role, were involved in the hosting business, as you continue to be. And therefore, you actually were involved in the revenue side of the business prior to becoming a CIO. I find this interesting because there are so many chief information officers who have a bit of a gulf between their groups and where value is ultimately created from a revenue perspective, whereas you came to the role with that orientation. I'd be curious, and obviously that continues to be part of your purview, so you still have revenue-centric activities. Can you talk a bit about, I can only imagine as you speak with peers, you recognize that this is unusual and the advantages of having been part of a technology-centric, revenue-enhancing part of the business prior to taking over IT, and how this has impacted the way in which you've
senior role as a CIO?
It certainly shaped a lot of the things that I believe and sort of preach to my teams. One of the things that we talk a lot about is we don't do IT for IT's sake. It's about delivering the value. We're very, very much driven in building the traditional ROI cost models. When can I get a return on this investment? You know, coming from, you know, inside of Cerner on the revenue side, having to really balance that margin and being part of the leadership team that was and is responsible for delivering that margin every single quarter and every single year, you make decisions and you have to, you're running the business and it's about balancing what the revenue stream is versus the expense stream. And that gives you certainly a very good understanding when you are part of that team and part of your compensation is relied upon making the margin. When you go to the corporate side, it's no different. Unfortunately, I think a lot of CIOs are sort of siloed. They're just seen as an expense center. And we've really tried to look at what is the business value? Does it have an impact on the bottom line? And it's not always about just cutting costs, because unfortunately, I feel like a lot of times that's what CIO's jobs are, is how do we cut costs? You know, every year our budget gets cut by 3% or 5%. And it's not always about that. It's about delivering the value and increasing productivity or improving the way we interact with our client base. You know, how do we ensure that they have a good experience, whether it's through a call center, help desk, contracting process, et cetera. It's definitely shaped my thinking about IT and IT's role and what we're here for. And I tell my team all the time, we're here to enable the rest of the company. We're not here for ourselves. And if we get too far down that path that we're here for ourselves, meaning IT for IT's sake, we're not focused in the right area. I'm excited about it. And I think my team has really, you know, changed their philosophy and thought process over the last 3 and 4 years. We work very well with the businesses out there in delivering business value to the company.
That's great. And can you talk a bit about, just as you described the tremendous growth in the company, generally speaking, can you talk a bit about the growth on the hosting side?
The hosting business has grown dramatically. You know, when I started in 2005, we probably had somewhere in the 30 to 40 client range. Today, you know, we have 500 plus clients, and sometimes it's interesting how we count them. We have clients, we have maybe thousands of them, but they're on one shared domain. So it just depends on how you choose to count them. But how we generally count them is we have, you know, 500 plus clients globally in the hosting space. You know, revenue's grown tremendously over the last 12 plus years. You know, especially as people become more comfortable with another entity running their critical electronic health record or electronic medical record platform, that is really the lifeblood of a provider's world. If that system isn't available, then it becomes very chaotic, you know, in a clinic or a hospital or a doctor's practice. So we put a lot of effort into that and in delivering an extremely valuable service to our client. Part of it is our ability to deliver, but part of it is it's client to client. They have great experience. They're willing to share that with other clients, and that has grown as well. At the end of the day, it's about delivering value again to the client base. In the world we live in, especially as things become more easy to go to different providers, you have to deliver value to your clients. Otherwise, the ability for them to move is becoming less and less difficult. So, you know, as I said, part of a great team here, my partner that runs the production side of the house, we've been together on this business for almost 13 years and have great success stories across the board in delivering value for our clients.
That's great. And I know you're also, as a result of this, unusually large consumers of data. I think you said you have 120,000 systems across your data centers, major users of storage. How do you think, especially given the growth that you've described in the hosting business specifically, in the company more generally speaking, how have you and the team been able to plan that sort of scale. A lot of organizations find it challenging enough if their company is growing, 10% a year, to say nothing of the sorts of ratios that you've dealt with. Obviously, these are tremendous blessings in the grand scheme of things, but it's also a challenge to make sure that you're developing an organization with the data capabilities and with the technology that's going to be able to scale and keep up with the business. How do you think about that?
The hosting business, or as we refer to it as CernerWorks, has grown dramatically. In the early years, it really felt like a startup, that was going to the moon. You learn very quickly that, your sales machine is out there selling, they're having success. And as an infrastructure person responsible for infrastructure, you've got to deliver. We have a lot of process put in place. I don't want to make it sound bureaucratic. I'm sure it feels that way at times. To be able to scale at that rate and at that speed, you have to have good processes in place, from capacity planning to, being able to come up with mechanisms to manage against sales forecasts. And what does that mean to delivery, working with finance, getting people to understand, buying hardware, technology refresh strategies, security strategies. So really developing strong relationships with finance and our CFO, and building a trust there with that team, to have them not only trust, but also assist in, helping us build business models, business cases, strategies around, how do we best use our capital in our investments? How do we negotiate, from a supplier perspective, et cetera? There's a lot of work. There's no silver bullet there. But, I think over the years, we've had to be agile. We've had to be quick. We've had to keep the machine, the factory running every day. So part of it is, just being able to get the right people in the right place, getting the right processes in place, developing the relationships internally within Cerner, as well as having great partners in the technology field, from Cisco, HP, Oracle. I don't want to leave anybody out. We have great providers in the space that really, we do tremendous amounts of business with them, but there's a great trust relationship with those providers as well, because we all know it's technology, their difficulties, and it's the ones that stick together and stick with us through troubled times that have really, really helped our business grow as well.
I'm also curious, as you've grown your team, what sorts of skills are you particularly interested in, or which ones have grown most rapidly? As you think about the way in which a modern IT department needs to be populated from a skill perspective, what are some of the things that are particularly important?
I have a very large organization, over 1,500 folks around the world now. Obviously, technical skills are critical. I mean, we have some of the best network storage server engineers. We sit on advisory consoles for, the major technology companies, and providing input to their roadmaps, in the future. And that is something that I'm very proud of my team, and honored that, these technology companies see value in Cerner associates, providing the input and assistance on, next generations of technologies. But I think also, leadership has been a critical. I mean, when I started, I had 35 people in my org, and as I said, over 1,500 now. So there's been a lot of people who've been promoted very quickly in the organization. What we have to be cognizant of is not promoting the smartest. Sometimes it happens, but not necessarily the smartest technical person as a leader, because that may not be their best trait. We've really focused on, over the last probably 5+ years, our leadership skills in being able to work outside of IT. So how do you interact with what we call our business partners inside of Cerner? In our hosting group, there's another group that, we work very closely with. I need leaders that can work with the leaders of the production teams who, ultimately are responsible for working with our client. So they have to think in terms of what is that client feeling at the very end, And then ultimately, you know, thinking about what we deliver critical care solutions, and we call them life critical systems at Cerner. They're not mission critical, they're life critical systems. I need people that understand that in leadership and all the way down the ranks. In the internal IT organization, again, same types of leadership. I need people that can understand people's businesses, empathize with the troubles that they have, understand that a consultant is, you know, sitting in a hotel room 5 days a week. What kind of laptop do they need? What would make their life better rather than thinking about, well, this laptop works great in the office. But when you have people who travel, people who are at client sites, how do we make their jobs less troublesome because of technology? We want the technology to be sort of in the background as a silent enabler to them. So, you know, leadership skills around working with the business, understanding the business, being able to help the business see the value of technology, and really the collaboration skills from a leadership perspective. It's a great dynamic to have. You know, we want the best, deepest technologists that we can hire, but we also need the best leadership. And almost, you know, at certain levels of our organization, relationship manager, sales types of people who can help shape and sell concepts and convince people to do things in a collaborative fashion rather than sometimes what IT normally does is puts the hammer on people and says, this is what you get and you'll be happy with it. We've really tried to work on those skills over the last few years.
And as you look out, say, 2 or 3 years, Bill, what are some of the technologies that particularly excite you? Are there trends that you are monitoring or beginning to you know, dip your or your collective organization's toe in the water to investigate?
You know, certainly public cloud is something that, you know, we are doing pilots with. You know, how do we best use the capabilities of the public cloud to help us extend our reach from a company? How could public cloud help us get into new marketplaces faster at a lower cost, and maybe even offer us the ability to take risks on businesses in countries where in the past it may have been cost prohibitive for us to go into and, you know, set up a data center with big infrastructure? Artificial intelligence, kind of combine the analytics and artificial intelligence together. The company in general is looking at that from a electronic health record, population health solutions that we sell to our client base, but internally from an internal IT, how can we use artificial intelligence to make people's lives, you know, again, improve them through the use of technology? Can we integrate, you know, people's calendars and lives into things that they already have, like Alexa or, you know, any of the other public marketplace things out there to kind of combine things together? How do we add value from an IT perspective? So, and, you know, we're doing a lot of things in gamification to try to get people compliance for, you know, travel policies, timesheet keeping, et cetera. So I would say those are 3 or 4. There's many others, but those are kind of the forefront: cloud, artificial intelligence, big data analytics, gamification are things that we're looking at.
Well, Bill Graff, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been a great conversation.
No, I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please rate us on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. Please join us next week when my guest will be Greg Carmichael, the former CIO and current president and CEO of Fifth Third Bancorp, a $6.7 billion diversified financial services company. You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' 5 principles of world class IT. The 5 principles are as follows. Principle 1 is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.